Well, as we begin looking at our covenant tonight, I encourage you to turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as we begin, we are going to be looking at this next phrase, which is that we at Community Baptist Church are to promote its spirituality and its prosperity. We're to promote the spirituality and prosperity of Community Baptist Church. Now, between the sermon this morning and then adult Bible fellowship with our class on loving one another this morning, and now this line in our covenant, God has providentially brought all of these things together in one day. And I believe it's to drive the point home to us as we build up the church. You know, we might get tempted to grow tired of the topic of promoting the church's spirituality and its prosperity, of building each other up through love, is essentially how I'm interpreting it. But there are some things that we never stop learning in life. Our little baby boy, James, will be turning one pretty soon here next month. And we had to, when he was first born, put his clothes on, right? We had to pull a shirt over his head. And then after a little while, he started figuring things out and he'd stick his arm out for us, or another arm. He'd put his arms to the sleeves, and that was a good step. And then as kids get older, they start learning to dress themselves a little bit, right? They can put on their shirt and put on their pants, but we kind of pick out the clothes for them. And then there's some magical time when they start figuring out they can pick out their own clothes. And it becomes a little bit more exciting as you try to navigate the negotiations of when they're going to pick out dressing themselves. And then they get a little bit older and they go off to college or they leave the house and they're doing their own laundry now, right? They're picking out their own clothes. And then I realized when I got married that my wife had a certain perspective on how I should be dressing myself. And I just realized that this never ends, does it? Fashion changes. We're always constantly learning about clothing. And tonight, as we consider how to promote the spirituality and prosperity of the church, we're going to look at this topic of loving one another one last time. And we're encouraged as we do this to not grow tired of the learning process, because learning to love is a learning process. So tonight, I want to encourage us to love one another more and more. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the point. Love one another more and more, because loving one another is a learning process. So look at verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." Much like this morning in Romans 12, where Paul just suddenly starts launching into some commands, what they call paronesis. It's a similar setting here. Paul has been talking to the Thessalonians about living holy lives. And now he's going to tell them that living their holy lives, so being distinct Christians, is now going to be borne out in how they love one another. And he says one of the same things that we saw this morning. Notice that he uses this word for brotherly love in verse 9. Which is the word Philadelphia. We saw this morning, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And this is a word that encourages us. Though we're called to love all people in general, there is a specific call for us to love the body of Christ as family in Christ. We are children of the Heavenly Father, part of the family of God. And this particular church, the Thessalonian church, had done a good job of this, Paul says, because of one particular reason. He says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." They had been taught by God. The word behind this phrase is unique. It's the only time it occurs in the New Testament. And actually, it's the first time it ever pops up in the Greek language. Paul might have been like Shakespeare here, coining his own term for being taught by God. And what he is telling them is that the Holy Spirit had taken the truths of the Word of God and applied it to their lives, specifically in this area of loving other believers. And God does the same thing for us, doesn't he? If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and he teaches you to love other Christians as you read the Word. You know, I mentioned this morning how I'm so thankful for how God's worked in our assembly. Many of you serve and love other people in countless ways, both big and small. And so it was with this church. And they weren't just taught to love by God. They actually did it. So notice in verse 10, he says, "For that indeed, loving one another, is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia." That wasn't just their church, but several churches in the region that these Thessalonians were known and being faithful for loving. You know, there really is a big difference between knowing something, being taught it, and doing it. I remember the first time I shot a rifle. I'm not sure what I was expecting when I picked up the gun and stuck it onto my shoulder and looked at the target and pulled that trigger, but what happened was not what I was expecting. The blam! The force in my shoulder, the impact, suddenly and unexpectedly. I quickly learned not just from looking at guns and reading about them, but by actually using them, what to expect. And the tense of this verb here, when it says that this is what they are doing, is in the present tense. It means it's an ongoing action that they were actively engaging in. They were loving the other believers. And yet there's a particular temptation for us when we consider loving one another. The temptation is to let up on loving others. You know, when I shot that gun for the first time and I got over the initial shock of the first shot, then I had to keep shooting at the target. And my shoulder got really sore. But I didn't want to look like a wimp, right? Backing down from shooting this rifle and target practice. I was learning. And the excitement of that initial blam wore off. But I was learning. Learning how to handle a gun, learning more how to let your breath relax right before you pull the trigger so that you have a smooth shot. And there's always more to learn. And so it is in the church. We are constantly learning how to love one another. And so Paul makes this exhortation at the end of verse 10. He says, "But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." And this is a great exhortation for us after hearing a whole Sunday on learning to love one another, that we not let off on the gas pedal on this thing, but that we continue to learn how to do this more and more by experience as we engage in following the commands of Scripture. And I think this is wonderful as it's compared to brotherly love in a family context, because part of the beauty of marriage, I've discovered with my wife Emily, is the lifelong process of learning each other. You know, as you age, you both age together and you change. And it's not like people are static, are they? You change. I change. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. People grow and change. And as we learn lessons, and as we face trials together, and as we transform through the decades, as we do in the life of the church, if we're committed to loving one another, it only grows sweeter as the years go by. Learning to love is a lifelong process. And what happens when we commit to this learning process of loving other people? Well, it leads us to a godly witness. It actually propels us towards the mission of telling people about Jesus Christ. And we don't have time tonight to unpack everything in this text together, but I just want to make the simple observation that Paul directly connects their love for one another to their witness to a watching world. Notice verse 10 again. He says, "For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." And there's a connection there to verse 11. "To aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." You know, there was a clarification Paul needed to make here. Perhaps there were Thessalonian believers in the church who had actually grown lazy as other believers had loved them and cared for them, and they become overly dependent on that. Our love for one another should not drive us to laziness. Instead, we should be working diligently with our hands and be diligent about the things that God has given us to do. So they were really missing a divine opportunity here. You see, their love for one another wasn't to drive them to just kind of keep it to themselves, but it was to be a witness to a watching world. Jesus told his disciples in John 13, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." When we live this way, committed to the spirituality and the prosperity of this local church, as we build each other up in love, it's a witness to a watching world. You know, you and I have neighbors. We have friends. We have family that are watching us all the time. And that's not something we need to feel guilty about. It could be tempting to use our witness as something that we hold over other Christians' head to make them feel guilty. It's like, you need to be a good witness. That's not the point. We're not supposed to bludgeon other Christians with this. Our testimony is not motivated by guilt. Instead, it's motivated by the love of God who loved us first. So one way we can be a witness to a watching world is to invite them into our loving relationships with other believers. Let them see how we love one another. I remember one year when I was a youth pastor, we used to take our teens every single Christmas time and they would Christmas carol to the seniors at our church. And I'll never forget one house that we showed up that night. The seniors knew that we were coming, and that particular couple had invited over their neighbors for dinner that night. They were eating around a table as we came in because they invited us in to the house. And then they had their neighbors come into the living room and we caroled to them about Christmas. It was such a natural intersection between the life of the church and love for one another and then reaching out to the lost around us. It was a beautiful moment and it made total sense because there are a lot of people who may never step foot into the doors of this church, but they may step foot inside the doors of your house or at your park or at your gym where you exercise. And those intersections are wonderful places, opportunities for us to put the love of Jesus Christ on display in the life of the church. So bring some believers with you and let other people see how you love one another. Let's pray tonight that God would help us to commit to loving each other more and more, that we commit ourselves to a lifelong process of learning to love, and that would lead us to a faithful witness. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would help us to learn to love each other more and more. We do pray that you would help us to be committed to promoting the spirituality of this church as we build each other up in love, and its prosperity as we seek to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ and faithful witnesses to a watching world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.